This is your moment, your time to shine, your comeback. You're ready for the next step in your career, and you want an education employers respect. So you're not just going back to school. You're coming back with Purdue Global. Backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected public universities, Purdue Global is built for people who bring their life experience into the online classroom. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
Focus Features presents Back to Black.
I want people to hear my voice and just forget their troubles.
Experience the music and her story.
Know this,
I ain't no Spice Girl.
Like never before.
That's my daughter, that's my Amy.
On the big screen.
I want to be remembered for just being me.
Amy Winehouse, Back to Black, directed by Sam Taylor Johnson. Rated R, under 17, not a minute without parent. Only in theaters May 17th.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Well, hi, everybody, and welcome back. It's been 3 weeks that we've been off on break. I took my little one back to New York for the holidays. I got to see almost all my kids, and not Chels. She was in Wisconsin, but everybody else I got to see and, meet Parker's new girlfriend and, hang out with Jackie and Jeannie. I went to see a couple movies. I went to see some Broadway shows, of course, because when in New York, you got to see a Broadway show. It's the best part of living there. It really is. I miss the Broadway life. I miss not seeing a show, all the time. I mean, something about holding that waxy playbill and hearing the orchestra tune up and you're just like, here we go, It's like the best roller coaster ride in the world, if you ask me. But I'm a little biased being a New Yorker and all that. So, God, that first part of the year seems to, when you still have kids in school, you go by the school calendar, right? It's like it starts in June and it ends in June. And it's just hard to believe that we're here already. And great news in terms of January is the guide dog training begins in a couple weeks. And I go away for 10 days and I get trained to be the handler of my kids' autism service dog. And this is my New Year's resolution to really stick to it and do good and connect and, have this be the experience that I know it will be for my kiddo. So that's exciting. And they just turned 11. We had a birthday party at a circus, Dave and Buster's. Not technically a Dave and Buster's, but it was called Two Bit Circus or something. And it was really wonderful. Virtual reality, like Miss Pac-Man, arcade games, carnival games. They had the greatest time. And it was so fun to see. It really was. They did an escape room at the end and they had to do teamwork and all the 8 of them or the 9 of them escaped the escape room. I always thought an escape room really locked you in. I come to find out it's not the case at all. You can leave whenever you want, which makes me want to try one now because frankly, I was too afraid to ever go try an escape room. I thought of all these people, nobody has anxiety but me. It's like making $1 billion a year. And I'm thinking that you may be held captive. Really, really, people. There's things bouncing around my head. You have no idea. No idea, people. So listen, what we thought we would do while we were away on those 3 weeks, Lori, my producer here, has been hard at work getting all of the questions ready, and I have not heard any of them yet. But these are all messages left by you, the loyal listener, and we thank each and every one of you for leaving a message. We got a whole bunch, and we picked out some. I haven't heard any of these questions, so it'll be the first time I'm hearing it, and we're just going to go until the time runs out. So, hit it. Let's go. Question or viewer number one.
Rosie, I fell in love with you after watching you in A League of Their Own and Sleepless in Seattle, and I was thrilled when you played Betty in the Flintstones because it was one of my favorite childhood cartoons. When you started your TV show in 1996, I was pregnant with my first child. Although we didn't know the baby's gender, we had chosen the name Brendan early on in the pregnancy. However, the pregnancy was difficult, and I was put in bed rest right around the time your TV show aired. My grandmother came to stay with me to help out, and we watched your show every single day. It was an absolute highlight, and Grandma fell in love with you, too. As we listened to the stories about your son, we also fell in love with the name Parker and decided to change my baby's name. We had to explain that to my husband when he got home that night, but Grandma just told him that that was the way it was going to be. On August 27th, I gave birth to my preemie baby boy named Parker, who would have been Brendan if it wasn't for you. My question actually is about your podcast theme song. Who is a composer and why did you choose it? Compared to your TV theme song, which was entertaining, hyped up, and energetic, your podcast theme is more calming and serene. Both themes set the mood appropriately. Your TV show was exciting and animated, whereas your podcast is more tranquil and thought-provoking. They show two sides of you, which I admire both very much. Thank you for being a part of our lives for so many years and for allowing us to feel a part of yours.
I bet you got all A's in school. That was like most beautifully written little essay. And it was very touching. Thank you so much for that. You know, my Parker was a preemie too. And he's a tall, 6 foot big old man now, you know, so as I'm sure yours is as well, because they're 28 now, right? Wow, it's hard to believe, you know, it's that many years have gone by. But the song that you're talking about is Andre Simone, who is really an unbelievably talented songwriter. And he played with Prince. He's, you know, listen, Google him. Andre Simone, and the Simone is C-Y-M-O-N-E. And we share a love of Joni Mitchell. He and I were both talking about that, and I was like kicking it around. I'm like, something that evokes the mood of the Joni Mitchell piano pieces. And he came up with that beautiful song. That's where we get the song from. So thank you for that. And yeah, the first show was, you know, very much an entertainment kind of bump, 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 quick, you know, and definitely the podcast is an older, more mature, less quick kind of pace. And isn't that the evolution of life in some ways, right? Who you are in your 30s or 40s, you know, who you are in your 60s. A lot changes in between those times, you know. All right, who do we got next?
Hey, Rosie, my name's Amanda. I feel like I've grown up with you. I was in high school when your show started, and I never missed it. I was lucky enough to be in your studio audience twice, and I saw you in Seussical, and you were so kind to me at the stage door. We even got a photo together, which just made my life at the time. You have no idea. Like so many, your show helped develop my love for Broadway. I majored in music in college, and after I graduated, I moved to New York City and even worked for a Broadway producer for a while and had some other really cool music jobs. I have two daughters now and am a preschool music teacher, which is so fun. But anyway, my question for you is a very scary topic: teenagers. My oldest is 10 and I'm already getting attitude and a lot of very strong feelings from her. I'm so out of my element and I'm just learning as I go. I wasn't ready for this to start at age 10. I thought I had a few more years left. Are girl teenage years harder for moms? I don't know. Any advice for me? Oof.
Well, wonderful, wonderful question, honestly. And I have to tell the truth. I am a much better parent to young kids than I am to teenagers. I struggled a lot during their teenage years. I mean, a real lot. You know, I have gone through a lot of therapy to figure out why I did the things that I did and the way that I did them, you know, based on what I imagined would happen when I had my own kids, you know. It's hard. And my 11-year-old here is in those teenage stage as well. And then you add a layer of autism on top of that. And that's going to be an interesting ride. I can already feel it, you know. The biggest thing is to keep communication open and to know, and I never knew this because my mom died before I was a teen. So I didn't push against anyone to, you know, figure out who I was, not in the shadow of my mother. And children have to do that. They have to push away from you. But when Parker did it, first one, my oldest, I was a basket case, hysterical. I made him go to therapy with me. I was crying, saying, you know, he hasn't spent time with me. He never talks to me. We used to go to the movies. And I cried for 40 minutes. And finally, the wonderful guy said to him, do you have anything to say? And he said, yeah, can you adjust her medication? Which, you know, is funny. It's in my act, but it's a true story. And, you know, and he was right. I was having, you know, such a hard time having never kind of experienced it at dealing with it. So it's hard, man. It's hard. It really is. To stay as close as you can to them is all I can say, even though they're going to push you away and be embarrassed of you and, you know, all those things. But I think there's no such thing as over-loving a kid. I really don't. So I don't know if we should take parenting tips from me, but that's what I would say. Stay as close as you can. Love, 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 love them and know that they're confused and their hormones are everywhere. And, you know, Inside Out is coming out with a new version, Inside Out 2, in the summer. And it's all about puberty. And I think that that's going to be so helpful to so many parents of teens. And I can't wait to see it. And neither can Clay. They're very excited about that film. And I'm so thankful. Amy Poehler, genius. Really genius. That film's genius. Okay, then we got another question. Here we go.
Hi, Rosie. Hello from North Dakota. My name's Greg, and wow, you are an amazing interviewer. I guess I should have known that because of all your experience with your TV show and all that, but thank you so much for your podcast. I've got a long commute, and it's a great day when I have a new podcast of yours to listen to, so thank you so much. The reason why I'm making this recording is that I was listening to the interview with Sophie B. Hawkins, and y'all started to talk about parenting without a partner, and it just cut right through me. As a matter of fact, I had to pull the car over out in the middle of nowhere and just sit and listen to the rest of the interview undistracted. My situation is that I'm a single dad. My husband at the time wanted children, and I was ambivalent about it. I didn't think that I would be a good dad. No one in my life, I don't think, thought that I would be a good dad. It wasn't anything I'd ever thought about for myself. And we fostered these three amazing kids, survivors of extreme trauma, little gods of chaos. And I just absolutely fell in love with it. Discovered a part of myself that I didn't know existed. And unfortunately, my husband discovered that this wasn't really for him. And I went on to adopt all three kids. None of my friends or family have ever been able to understand how I can be okay with my husband's leaving. But I heard you all say it. It's just, I didn't want to be a parent with someone who didn't want to be a parent. And being a parent was pretty much all I wanted to do. Anyway, you were talking about therapy and stuff like that. But, you know, that whole saying, you can't pour from an empty cup. And I really struggle with that. So I just wanted to hear you comment more about how you keep yourself in a place where you can be fully present for your kids. You know, I try a bunch of little things. Like I may take an extra moment when I'm out grocery shopping to get an ice cream, or I might, you know, listen to your podcast or, you know, get up a few minutes early so I can have a few minutes to collect my thoughts. You know, I have lots of little ways, but I just wanted to hear you talk a little bit more about that. Anyway, I could go on forever. Thank you so much for your podcast. I don't know what else to say, so I'll just say, say goodbye. Okay. Ciao.
Thank you so much. So sweet. I love these. I always imagine where you're sitting and if you're talking into your, you know, phone or how you're doing it and, you know, such a warm feeling from your voice. And good for you, you know, that these children found their way to you and that awakened your sense of being a parent and how important that is in your life and world. And even if people don't understand, you know, there are people that have a certainty that they will parent from the time they're on the earth, you know? And I was one of those people, you know, I was certain I wanted to have a lot of children and how we came to be, you know, in this family, it has its own story as every family does. And I think that I parented with Kelly for the first four and then alone for this last one, Clay, also known as Dakota. I know it's still confusing to some people, but they're going by Clay and the pronouns are they, them. And that's okay with me. And I know some people have trouble with it. I'm just glad that you're not parenting them. Okay. So I would say that parenting as a single parent has advantages, you know. Now, what do you do for yourself? That's something that I need to take notes on, self-care and knowing that you're, you know, a separate person who gets to have friends and a life and go do things and not always just be home with your kid who likes to be home all the time. You know, that's kind of a tough thing to do. But I think that the more connected you are to your family, the better you feel as a human. And you know, you have a strong desire to parent. That's all you want to do is what you said. And I totally understand that. I totally understand it. And I think it's wonderful. I do. But take care of yourself first and, you know, put on your life mask first. That's what they say. I'm sure I would put theirs on first and then grab mine, which is against the rules and not the way one should do it. Fully understand. I fully understand. Thank you for that. We're going to take a little break. We'll be back with more questions from you, our fabulous listeners.
Are you looking for the perfect move-in ready home this spring season? Now's the time to buy at Fisher Homes. For a limited time only, enjoy below market interest rates starting at 5.375% APR, 6.139% APR. With these exclusive lower rates, you can save hundreds on a move-in ready home and start enjoying the benefits of home ownership even faster. Schedule your personal tour with one of our new home specialists at fisherhomes.com and make this spring the season you find your perfect home sweet home. Financing provided by Victory Mortgage, LLC, NMLS 461249, Equal Housing Lender.
I'm late for a very important date.
Time is running out to score adult theme park tickets at child prices from Undercover Tourist. This summer, make your Walt Disney World vacation more affordable than ever. Escape into a place where magic has the power to transport you into stunning worlds and your favorite stories for less. Buy from Undercover Tourist, an authorized seller, and link to official Walt Disney World apps so you can add on Genie Plus and Lightning Lane upgrades easy. Book your adult theme park tickets at child prices with Undercover Tourist now and save.
UndercoverTourist.com.
Hi, I'm Cindy Crawford, and I'm the founder of Meaningful Beauty. Well, I don't know about you, but, like, I never liked being told, oh, wow, you look so good for your age. Like, why even bother saying that? Why don't you just say you look great at any age, every age? That's what Meaningful Beauty is all about. We create products that make you feel confident in your skin at the age you are now.
Meaningful Beauty. Beautiful skin at every age. Learn more at meaningfulbeauty.com.
Okay, so we got another question from you, the loyal listener. Here we go.
Hi, Rosie. This is Marianne in New Jersey. I actually have two questions for you. One is, did you ever feel a frustration or a difficulty that you weren't able to come out during your show? Was it the people around you? Was it the network that kind of told you that wouldn't be a good idea? I remember in 1999 that I made a conscious decision that I was tired, that I wanted to live a different life. I'm a physician, and my wife and I both made the conscious decision that we were going to live out from that point on. It was the best decision we ever made. Sadly, I lost her about 5 years ago, but from 1999 on until her death, we lived an open life. The second question I have has to do with Broadway. My friends have a joke that they think I'm more gay guy than gay girl because I suck at sports and I love musical theater. But the question is, do you remember a defining performance that you sat there and you thought, oh my good Lord, how did this person do this? I remember seeing Jekyll and Hyde with Linda Eder and Robert Cucciolo, and he finished that performance where he was transforming from one to the other, and I just kept saying to people, if I didn't see it live, I wouldn't believe that a human being could do that, that he sang both parts of both sides of his alter ego at the same time. I'm loving the podcast, and thanks for everything you do.
Thank you. Very sweet. Thank you so much. I'm sorry about the loss of your partner, your spouse. Yeah, listen, you know, nobody ever told me not to come out. It was more just the times that we were in. You know, when I took the job, I told Warner Brothers that I was gay and that I didn't think I would ever come out and say it at the time. People weren't out, you know, when we started the show and talks in like 95, and there was no Will and Grace. There was no, you know, I don't know. That just was a different time. It was a different culture, and people didn't ask in interviews, and there was no internet. And, you know, I mean, everybody who knew me in my life knew that I was gay. You know, at the award shows, I always brought Kelly and, you know, sat next to her, and I don't know. I mean, I think that it is such a better thing when you get to live your authentic self, no matter what the circumstances are for you. I agree with you so much in terms of just not compromising for, you know, for yourself, not compromising and, you know, staying true to who you are and all of those things. But, you know, I do wish that I could have come out sooner, but I don't think I could have. You know, you don't scream and a flower bloom. It blooms when it's ready, you know? And so I don't know. I don't know about that. And as for Broadway, God, there are so many. I would say, you know, Patti LuPone is Eva Perón. Come on. Eva Perón had every disadvantage you need if you want to succeed. I would say Jennifer Holliday and Dreamgirls. When those chimes hit, kong, 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 and I am telling you, you know, those were unreal moments of theater. I could not believe when I first saw the animals coming down the aisle in The Lion King, I was overwhelmed with emotion. I was started sobbing. Wheels of a Dream, Audra McDonald, Brian Stokes Mitchell, when they sang that in Ragtime, you know, I loved the musical Titanic. I loved Sweeney Todd with the newest production with Anna Lee and Josh Groban. Oh my God. There's so many. Jake Gyllenhaal in Sunday in the Park with George. He was astounding. That was a performance. Christine Ebersole in Grey Gardens. where it seemed like she wasn't even acting, where it seemed like she was channeling Edie, you know, Edie Beal. I've been so lucky to see so many unbelievable performances. I remember Judi Dench in, I think it was called Amy's Room or Amy's View. And there was a scene where she was talking to the man behind her and she was looking in a mirror. But of course, there was no mirror there because we were sitting in the audience. But where she put her eye and how she was looking at him while talking to him was like the most magnificent moment of acting I've ever seen in my life. I couldn't believe it. It was so precise and excellent. I've been lucky. I've seen so many glorious, glorious performances on Broadway. Kristen Chenoweth in Charlie Brown, you know, her and Idina Menzel and in Wicked. Come on. I mean, really, there were so many. I can't even think of them all, but I loved Broadway so much. And I loved the one that you talked about, Linda Eder and Robert Cuccioli. You know, it was funny. I took one of my nieces with me to see that. And one of them leaned over and said to me, "I think he's on a harness on a pole." I was like, "I think you've seen too many shows, young one. Yes, he's on a harness on a pole, but come on, just go with it." Anyway, thank you so much. Thank you for that. And thanks for your question and for your listenership. Okay, who do we got next?
Hey, Rosie. My name is Dina, and I'm calling from Ohio. I was so concerned about you several episodes ago because your voice was so low and you sounded so down. I was freaking out. I was like, something's going on. Something's happening to you. And I was really, really concerned. And then I realized that I was playing your podcast at 75 speed. I don't know. The one lower than one. And I busted out laughing. So I was very happy to hear your voice is back. And you sounded the way you always sound. Anyway, my question to you is, are you going to write a new book? I love hearing your voice again. I've missed your show. And I would like to just keep listening to you so you keep going onward. Thank you very much for being a bright light and a beacon of hope in this dark, miserable time that we are trying to get through. Bye.
Totally hear you on that, Dina. I mean, that was hysterical. I was cracking up as you were telling the story. I was first thinking, God, you know what? That was probably the night that I heard from so-and-so. Like, I was thinking she really did hear something, right? But then that's even funnier. It reminds me of the story when I got a new car and yeah, I hadn't had seat warmers and I go, and I'm sure I have some sciatica because every time I sit in my car, my legs are on fire. And the doctor literally looked at me and said, "You have a new car. Those are seat warmers. Just turn them off and then your legs won't be on fire." It was the most embarrassing thing, I think, that ever happened to me in a doctor's office. And trust me, there's a lot of runners up for number one place. But that's, I think, number one. So that was very funny. I am going to write a new book, answer to your question. Yes, I was going to write a book. I started a book that's titled Raising Dakota, and now it's going to be called Raising Clay. And it's just about one autistic kid and, you know, one mom trying to figure it out. And I'm not an expert. I don't claim to be. I don't have all the answers. I'm learning. There's no roadmap. You know, you got to advocate for your kid and do the best that you can in, you know, mysterious, sometimes crazy, you know, ways that that it doesn't usually go down in life. And I've found such joy, truthfully, in this relationship with this human. I I have found nothing but curiosity and excitement and the desire to really understand and know who they are and what they're about, and to support that as best I can. And so, you know, that's what the book's going to be about. It's going to be called Raising Clay, and people will be very confused. All right, we got Beth next. Beth?
Hello, Rosie. This is Beth, and I am also in that last third of my life. I turned 65 this year. I know you are just a few years younger than me, but I'm also trying to figure out what to do with this part of my life now that I'm a retired art teacher. Wanted to talk to you a little bit about pronouns. My child, Anna, who was born in 97, on your birthday, March 21st, has just come out as non-binary and chooses to use they, them pronouns, as well as their partner, who is also non-binary and uses they, them pronouns. And I really respect their choice and their authentic identity and want to use those pronouns. But I know that, like you, I sometimes slip up and use their dead pronouns, the ones that they were given when they were identified as a certain gender at birth. So I just was wondering if you would like to talk about that and the fact that your child came out as non-binary at a much younger age, and how you're dealing with that, and anything you'd like to say about that. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Thank you, Beth. I've always wanted to have an art teacher as a mother. I think that would be a great thing, right? You do crafts all day long. That would be my dream. Yeah, my kid, born Dakota, last year, said to me that her stuffed animals were non-binary. And I said, really, what does that mean? Because I thought, how does she even know what that is, you know? And she said, well, it's when they don't think they're a girl and they don't think they're a boy. And I said, okay. And which one of yours is non-binary? And she said, well, most of them. And I said, okay, all right. And that was kind of the end of that subject. Then a couple months later, she said to me, do you know that there are some kids in my class who don't know their gender? And I said, yeah, why don't you tell them when they're in the shower, take a look downtown, you know? And she goes, mommy, that's not gender. That's your physical body. That's finite. Gender is infinite. Gender is infinite? I don't know where they got this information from. It was certainly not from me, because I find that I'm learning from them. I'm learning. And so when they finally told me that they were non-binary, and I said, well, that's fantastic that you know that about yourself. Wonderful news, you know. And then they asked if I was non-binary, and I said, no, I am a gay woman. I am not non-binary. I know that I'm a woman, and I like being a woman. And she said, okay. They said, okay. So they also said at that time, when they said they were non-binary, that they prefer they, them pronouns. And I said, all right, well, my 62-year-old brain with those synapses and neurons made their little tunnel holes in my brain. It goes down the she chute, right? I was listening to her. Ah! So I went so far as to get they tattooed on my wrist. So that I would look at it and remember. And, you know, it matters so much to Clay. It matters so much to them when I get it right, that I'm trying with all my might. But sometimes I just mess up, you know? And I think grace has to be given to those of us who are a little bit older, you know? And I will tell you that her friends have no problem. Everybody in her school, no problem. The older teachers, me and the older teachers, are the ones who mess up a lot, you know. It's funny, when I do say she in front of them, she will say to me, or they will say to me, they did it again, they will say to me, your tattoo isn't working. As if I got it on there and it would go right to my brain. But yeah, so good luck. Good luck with that. Be loving. That's all you have. You know how to do that. You're an art teacher. You know, you can't make art without heart, right? So listen, just keep loving them. That's it. Just keep loving them. And you know what? I mean, imagine what it's like to be a youngster today, somebody coming into their own and having hormones all of a sudden and knowing all the various options and choices. It's like it's unbelievable that we've come this far as a human species to be able to be accepting and understanding of the different types of human beings that are on this planet, all equal, you know. It's an amazing time to be alive, I could tell you that. All right, Becky, I think, is up next. Becky?
Ro.
Yeah.
Hi.
Hi.
My name's Becky.
Hi, Becky.
Portland, Oregon. I've been a fan of yours for many, many years. And the question I have for you is, you were friends of David Bowie. I love David Bowie. I miss him. Can you give a couple examples of how you saw how incredibly creative he was beyond his music? And also, what was he like as a friend? I'd really be curious to know that. Anyway, happy 2024. Thanks, Ro.
Hey, and you know what? Today happens to be Bowie's birthday. You know, he would have been 77 years old. Can you imagine David Bowie, 77? He was a lovely, lovely, charming man. And I met him when I did a movie with Iman, a movie called Exit to Eden, possibly the worst film ever made. Iman was in it, and I met David through her. And, you know, I was not a David Bowie fan before, I was a Barry Manilow, Barbara Streisand, Bette Midler. I felt like David Bowie was a little bit scary, right? It was like a black t-shirt. You know, I was not a black t-shirt kind of girl in high school. And, so I didn't know any of his work when I worked with them on. And then, of course, I was schooled in it. And he thought it was funny that the only song that I knew of his start to finish was China Girl. And he was like, it's my worst song ever. How could you possibly like that song? You know. And he was very, very sweet and very loving and very funny. He told dirty jokes a lot. And he loved his wife and his kid. And I think that it was truly a joy of my life to get to be in his orbit for a certain amount of time. You know, he was one of the most inventive, creative artists in the world ever. And in his house in St. Croix, or was it Jamaica? That it was maybe Bermuda. I stayed at a couple of their houses, but one of them was right on the beach, and I think it was Jamaica, but he had this huge art studio, and all of his different canvases going at once, and true artist, everything that he lived and did, I think, it was through those beautiful miscolored eyes, you know. He's an artist through and through, for sure. We're going to take a little break. We'll be back with more questions from you, our fabulous listeners.
Are you looking for the perfect move-in ready home this spring season? Now's the time to buy at Fisher Homes. For a limited time only, enjoy below market interest rates starting at 5.375% APR, 6.139% APR. With these exclusive lower rates, you can save hundreds on a move-in ready home and start enjoying the benefits of home ownership even faster. Schedule your personal tour with one of our new home specialists at fisherhomes.com and make this spring the season you find your perfect home sweet home. Financing provided by Victory Mortgage, LLC, NMLS 461249, Equal Housing Lender.
I'm late for a very important date.
Time is running out to score adult theme park tickets at child prices from Undercover Tourist. This summer, make your Walt Disney World vacation more affordable than ever. Escape into a place where magic has the power to transport you into stunning worlds and your favorite stories for less. Buy from Undercover Tourist, an authorized seller, and link to official Walt Disney World apps so you can add on Genie Plus and Lightning Lane upgrades easy. Book your adult theme park tickets at child prices with Undercover Tourist now and save. UndercoverTourist.com.
Hi, I'm Cindy Crawford, and I'm the founder of Meaningful Beauty. Well, I don't know about you, but, like, I never liked being told, oh, wow, you look so good for your age. Like, why even bother saying that? Why don't you just say you look great at any age, every age? That's what Meaningful Beauty is all about. We create products that make you feel confident in your skin at the age you are now. Meaningful Beauty. Beautiful skin at every age. Learn more at meaningfulbeauty.com.
Hey, Rosie, this is Julie from North Carolina. I'm actually new to Rosie. I'm the same age as you, and somehow I really never ended up watching your show. I think I always was working, but I stumbled across you now later in life, and I've listened to all your podcasts, and I've really enjoyed getting to know you. So you said you were going to do a show on questions, and I have a couple of questions for you. One is, can you give an update on your housing situation? I remember listening to one of your podcasts where you were living near the ocean and you were, you saw dolphins or whales or something like that. And I think Clay really wanted to move. And so I think you were going to be moving. And then could you also give an update on your weight loss? I think you shared that you were using like Wegovy or Ozempic or something like that, one of those, and you'd had a lot of success with it, and just wanted to see how that was still going, and maybe just give us an update. Thanks so much. It's really been a pleasure getting to know you every week. Bye-bye.
Well, thank you, Joy. That's so nice of you, all those things that you said. And isn't it funny how you can miss somebody's like height of their career? Like I feel like that happened to me with Paul Rudd. I don't know why. I somehow never like got to see him until something way after he was already famous. I don't know. You can miss somebody's, you know, and then you catch him on a podcast and go, oh, that's I remember her. The house on the beach was just for a year. I turned 60, and as a gift to myself, I rented a house on the beach in Malibu for 1 year, and I knew it was going to be for 1 year because, first of all, it's way too expensive for me to live there and justify the cost, and it's very isolating when you're out there, although it's gorgeous and beautiful, and Clay did not like the incessant noise of the ocean. It was very annoying to her ability or their ability to focus, and gave her anxiety, worrying about tsunamis and flooding. So we did a year there, and now we're in Santa Monica in a lovely house. And we still have the place in New York as well. And we're just trying to figure out what's the right way to go in terms of places to live when I thought I was going to be working on a series, and it only went for one season. And so I don't have work out here, and, you know, we might need a different kind of school for Clay now after their assessment that we got them, which, you know, was so very helpful, the UCLA assessment for autism. And I know it's very costly and not that many people can afford it, and very few insurances cover it. So I'm fortunate in so many ways because of that. And I wish it was available for everyone, just like I wish Mounjaro, which is what I am on. A year ago, my doctor put me on December 16th, put me on Mounjaro and told me I had type 2 diabetes. I was right at a 7, which is your A1C number, and that's 7 means you're diabetic. Anything like a 6-9, you're 3, you're pre-diabetic. You know, 5s are good. 6s and 7s are not, and anything above a 7 is dangerous. So now I'm a 5, which is really good in 1 year. And I've lost about 30-something pounds, you know. I have to say that I didn't know exactly how much I weighed when I started, because I didn't realize that the weight loss part of it, she didn't explain the weight loss part of it. And but it wasn't that known. The only commercial that was on TV was that woman singing about, you know, Ozempic and the pond and the fountain. You know, that woman in the blue outfit. It's a very annoying commercial. That one was on, but I didn't know that it was going to make weight loss come off quickly until the weight loss came off quickly. And I called my doctor and said, something happened. I lost 11 pounds. They're like, well, that's a result of the medicine you're on. I was like, really? And then I found out not only is it a result, it turns off the food noise in your head, which only people, I think, who suffer from obesity will understand what that really means. Anyone who has lived as an obese person knows the struggle with your brain never stopping craving, wanting, thinking about food. So now that's done, and I hope to be on this for the rest of my life. I mean, really, diabetic medication, if you go off of it, then your diabetes numbers goes right back up. So I don't plan on going off of it. But, you know, I'm okay, slow and steady with a pound every 2 weeks, maybe 2 pounds a month. I'm okay with, you know, the pace that it's been going. And I feel very, very, very strongly that this medication is life-saving for so many people who struggle with obesity, the disease of obesity. And this medicine does so much to cure it that I'm a very proud supporter of Mounjaro for type 2 diabetics and the results that I have gotten from my doctor on all my numbers have been phenomenal. So I'm grateful, and I only wish that everybody could have a chance to have it, because it just doesn't seem fair. You know, I had my friend Lisa here, who's, you know, had to weight stuff her whole life, and you know, she's been bigger, she's been smaller, and I said, well, why don't you try, you know, one of these Wegovy. She has no diabetic issues. She's only, you know, in her 40s, so, but the doctors won't give it to her. You know, she can't get a doctor to prescribe it. I don't understand. I just wish that there was a way that they could do that, because, you know, I mean, some people don't need it and are taking it, and that's a whole other story, but I don't want to get into that. But that's how I'm doing on both of those topics. I'm safe away from the water, although I would love to live on the beach the rest of my life. I would. Okay, here's our next one.
Yeah, I have a question for you, Rosie O'Donnell. You said you were leaving the country when President Trump was elected. So why are you still here, liar?
Okay. Hi, Rosie O'Donnell, no D. Oh, Rosie O'Donnell, 2 L's, 2 N's. Yeah, listen, surprised that you left a voice message. I never said that I was going to move out of the country. Never said it. I didn't say it once. So that would mean I'm not a liar, because I never said it. But the people on Fox News who told you that I said it, they're the liars, right? Because if I had said it, there would be a videotape of it and it would play incessantly. I never said it. I would never leave the United States of America. I love my country and yours. Here in America, where we have freedom, where we still are hanging on to our democracy, where we're, you know, we're a good people, the American people. And we have to remember that before, you know, this man appeared and it all went to hell in a handbasket. So let's hold on tight as we get through to November. But listen, whatever your name is, thank you for calling. And peace be unto you. Love you, Rosie O'Donnell. We'll be back with more after this. I hope you enjoyed that. I know that I did. So listen, in 2 weeks, we're going to do the same with some of the questions and comments you all sent in about the Lyle Menendez episode. But next week, my guest will be the fabulous, talented singer, actor, friend, Jimmy Smagula. Smagula! We first met when he was an audience member on my talk show. We were playing some silly game at the audience, show me your talent. And he said he could sing. And boy, that was an understatement. This guy can sing. He's done like 8 Broadway shows since, and he's currently starring in Spamalot on Broadway. And I just really love the guy. And we've been friends for a long time, ever since my show. And he's going to be here on Onward with Rosie O'Donnell next week. All right. All right. Peace out, everyone. Catch you next week.
Are you looking for the perfect move-in ready home this spring season? Now's the time to buy at Fisher Homes. For a limited time only, enjoy below market interest rates starting at 5.375% APR, 6.139% APR. With these exclusive lower rates, you can save hundreds on a move-in ready home and start enjoying the benefits of homeownership even faster. Schedule your personal tour with one of our new home specialists at fisherhomes.com and make this spring the season you find your perfect home sweet home. Financing provided by Victory Mortgage, LLC, NMLS 461249, Equal Housing Lender.
I'm late for a very important date.
Time is running out to score adult theme park tickets at child prices from Undercover Tourist. This summer, make your Walt Disney World vacation more affordable than ever. Escape into a place where magic has the power to transport you into stunning worlds and your favorite stories for less. Buy from Undercover Tourist, an authorized seller, and link to official Walt Disney World apps so you can add on Genie Plus and Lightning Lane upgrades easy. Book your adult theme park tickets at child prices with Undercover Tourist now and save. UndercoverTourist.com.
With every CBD product claiming to do something different, it's nearly impossible to decide what's best for you. Lazarus Naturals pioneered the farm-to-front-door model of transparency where they handle each step of the production process to ensure quality, potency, and consistency. Scannable labels allow you to see the test results of your hemp batch so you can be confident in the safety and quality. Visit LazarusNaturals.com today. Lazarus Naturals, committed to improving your life as well as the world around you. Not available in Idaho, Iowa, or South Dakota.